This episode of WDW Today is brought to you by Off to Neverland Travel. If you're looking to plan your vacation, go give them a shot. Go to neverland.com is their website. Visit that. Let them know you heard about it right here on WDW Today. And again, that's at go to neverland.com. And as Will likes to say,
all you got to do is pack.
All you got to do is pack and go to neverland.com. And now, on with the show.
Give me a little intro there, Gomer.
Bringing the world to your world. This is WDW Today, coming to you from somewhere off property at the Laugh-O-Gram Studios, featuring Len Testa and the greatest band in podcasting, Off Kilter. Now here they are, Terry Weaver, the nature boy Will Haynes, and your host, Logan Seculo.
It's Wednesday, October 12th, 2016, in this episode 1534. Of WDW Today. I'm Logan Seculo.
I'm Will Haynes.
And I'm Terry Weaver.
And as you may have heard, we just got back. All three of us collectively shared a house. It was very much it was a sitcom style situation. We all shared three bedrooms. No, we had a—
Was I Uncle Jesse?
You—
Could I be Uncle Jesse?
Well, I mean, of all of us, you probably are. I'm clearly I don't know, but I have the twins though.
I know, so you're Danny Tanner.
No, Uncle Jesse has the twins.
No. Oh, I'm thinking real life.
Uh-huh.
Mary Kate.
You just want to be— you just want to be Stamos.
Who doesn't want to be Stamos?
I'm more like Dave Coulier with kids.
I'd give you that.
Yeah, Terry's Dave Coulier. If anyone is Dave Coulier, it's Terry.
Hey, Oscar said I wanted to be Coulier.
That's fine. Then I'm Saget. Fine. I'm cool with that.
No, you're Danny Tanner.
I'm Danny Tanner.
You're not Bob—
you don't
Saget.
Want to be Bob Saget.
I love Bob Saget. All right, moving on. We did share a house, a vacation home that was awesome. By the way, we kind of tried to calculate. We stayed in a bed. It was 11 bedrooms.
Yeah.
It had a water
7,900 square feet.
It said it slept
30.
28.
There was 11 of us or whatever it was.
Yeah.
With all my kids and our wives, and we had someone helping with the girls. It was a big group of people, but it was awesome. We tried to calculate if we were to do that on property, what that possibly could cost. And I think we came to like 12 grand a night or something.
It was ridiculous.
And by the way, it was like one tenth of that. So
yeah,
always look— like, I know you guys— I preach off property a lot, but these are the reasons why. We had a stinking water slide, you know, all private for us.
Private pool party-ish thing.
Amazing.
Nice grill. I grilled some burgers.
I asked Riker, his preschool teacher asked him, "Tell you, what was your favorite part of the trip to Disney?" I was like, "They had the Batman game in my house." And they did. They had like a mini arcade with that brand new Batman game. It was awesome.
I'm a on property man. I'm a DVC owner, and I get the house thing with you now.
Yeah.
Like,
we had an elevator.
I took an elevator every night to my room. And I like an elevator with other random people.
Right.
But like, I took an elevator to my room at night. It was—
made Leslie walk.
No. She took the elevator too.
No, I'm—
and it even had some flashing lights that kind of gave you the whole entire experience.
Yeah, that was the only part that was a little creepy. We stayed out in Reunion. Again, I don't want to preach it too heavy, but it was something for our situation. Look, for our situation, if we were to book on property, like, let's say we booked at Art of Animation, like something tiny.
Got like four— we'd had to get like four rooms.
It would have been the same price or actually a little bit more expensive than this monstrosity house. Look, there— no one's a sponsor here. I'm just telling you how I feel. Yeah, you still don't have some of the luxury items, but let's talk. We each kind of picked out one thing because we were there for 4 days and we tried to do stuff together, but a lot of times got split up because either it took forever to get somewhere, kids were crying, yada, yada, yada. Stuff always got in the way, but we were able to do some stuff separately and together. But let's go around, kind of, let's pick a highlight. We'll do full trip reports later, or a highlight or a low light. You know, let's talk. So.
Well, I mean, if you want me to go first, it's what should have been a highlight for me and actually was a low light, and that was Food and Wine.
Yeah. I didn't even make it over there.
Because we warned you.
Yeah.
So we went on Saturday. Terry and I and our wives went on Saturday after De Las Puertas.
Which we all know is usually a no-no. We even
right.
But
I was very quickly reminded why I always give the advice. If you're going to go to Food and Wine,
go during the week.
Go during the week.
Now, it was the 45th, and Magic
right, so we thought,
popular. We assumed
exactly.
Everyone was going to be at the Kingdom.
And they were. But
they were.
So let me paint a little picture for you. We start walking through, and we get to the countries, like the start of it. So I think the first countries we came to were Australia and New Zealand. And I'm not like super amped on Australia and New Zealand food as like a concept. But I immediately looked at the stations and was like, there's no way I'm waiting in this. It was probably a 25-30 minute line out in the heat to get to the food there. So we're like, okay, let's just go to the Mexico Pavilion. well, you know, it'll probably be a wait, something like this, to get into Cava, but we'll do it because it's Cava.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we had
a specialty beverage.
Then. What right. unfolded when we walked into the Mexico Pavilion, and as I was standing there looking at Will, I know this is something that like high school, college age girls say, but I couldn't even comprehend the carnage that was occurring in front of my eyes.
It was probably 100 parties from the entrance of Cava all the way up the stairs out to the entrance of the Mexico Pavilion. When we walked in, we saw the line, just thought it was people standing around. No, they were in line to get into Cava.
Yeah.
So we're like, okay, well, clearly we're not doing that.
Open every day.
Yeah. I can't imagine how long you would have to stand in line to get in.
Yeah, there's no specific time frame for
exactly.
that.
So we're like, okay, well, let's just go ride Three Caballeros. Well, Grand Fiesta Tour was down. All right, bust there.
Someone puked on it, right? Someone had to have puked on it.
Either that or it was broken or something, because there was no one in line or anything. They'd cut it off at the beginning.
Oh, okay.
So leave there, walk by several other country stations at Food and Wine.
It was so hot that I actually said to Will at this point, maybe we should actually go see Anna and Elsa because there's air conditioning.
It was so hot in probably 45-minute waits to get the food at every booth.
Yeah.
There was less of a line at Anna and Elsa than there was for her New Zealand.
It was it was 20 minutes to meet Anna and Elsa, and it had to have been 45 minutes. We did wait in line at the tea stand and got Tipsy Ducks in Love because Terry never had it. Also, not unique to Food and Wine, and we waited 20 minutes.
Wow.
I have to give kudos.
It's a delicious beverage.
To Will. I thought Will had overhyped something. But actually, I think we've underhyped the Tipsy Ducks in Love on this show.
It's a good drink.
Will,
now, I will good. Say that it was shockingly hot outside. So, like, having all the chocolatiness to me, I was like, I mean, I love it.
It's
and
cold,
I have
though.
To have it. It is cold, but it was a little thick for me in the heat. But so we keep moving on. Keep thinking we're going to get to a country or some sort of unique stand, because that's what you want to do at Food and Wine. You want to try the things you can't normally get. Still nothing. Finally, we get to Italy, and it's so hot. Our wives are about to kill us for, like, bringing them out there, that Terry's like, hey, let's go to the wine bar, because there's never a wait. We waited probably 10 minutes to get in, which was sufficient, and we just ordered some sandwiches, and I think Samantha had a wine flight. I had some wine, some limoncello, and we made the decision after we parked in there for about an hour eating and just cooling off that, you know what, this is not worth it. Let's just get out of here. And we left.
And you had been in the Magic Kingdom that morning, so it was already a long day.
So it was in the middle of the day. So we were there in the heat of the day, but still, I mean, it was really rough.
It was miserable.
I've never seen the parks like this on a non-holiday. So I'll warn you, if you're planning on, you know, it's the 45th, you're thinking about the 50th now, don't.
Yeah.
I mean, we might be there because it's a...
I mean, I liked being there, I'd say. I'll cover the Magic Kingdom in a future episode where I'm saying I enjoyed it. I did some day one activities. I love my pin and I got my map. Couldn't wait in line for merchandise. Merchandise was a two-hour wait. It was all the way down Casey's. All the way past Casey's to get in line to buy stuff.
I met people who said they waited 3 hours for their merchandise.
And I'm sorry. I just don't care. What am I going to do with it? Terry bought me a lovely... I think they were selling... It was all the I Was There stuff. Because the 45th stuff was available the Friday night I was at... Not So Scary, or Thursday night I was at Not So Scary. You could buy the 45th merchandise. So that stuff's not going anywhere. It's just that one that I Was There shirts that, unfortunately, you know, I wasn't able to get, but oh well. All right, so I'm going to take the next one because Terry ends with a good one. Because your experience you're going to talk about was positive, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so mine's not as positive, so I'm going to talk about it. And if you guys have ever complained about us being a Pixie Dust podcast, you're going to like this episode more.
Yeah, this is... it hurts me that I had to talk that way.
I know.
Wine.
All right, and here's how I feel about... I did Not So Scary Halloween Party. All you guys know, this is my first year. I love Halloween. Love it. It's my favorite time of the year, my favorite holiday. My wife and I, we've been decorated for 2 weeks already for Halloween. 3 weeks. In September, we were decorating for Halloween.
You also love theme park Halloween experiences.
Yes. As you know, I won't even mention it. I have another podcast about the other side of the theme park world, which is a totally different experience. And I understand that Halloween Horror Nights and Not So Scary Halloween Party, obviously going to be completely different audience. So I took my son, who's about to turn four. I think he was too young. I'm thinking 2-3 years from now, I could take him back and really enjoy it.
Why was he too young? Are you going to get into that?
Yeah, I'll get to that. I'll talk about it. It's too late in the evening. and not enough stuff. Here's my big comparison I'd say to Halloween Horror Nights. And this is the couple that asked us that, which would you go to as an adult? Now I 100% say go to Halloween Horror Nights. So the crowds there were nuts too. If you miss the shows and you miss, really, if you miss the shows, the only benefit to going to Not So Scary Halloween Party is the fact that lines are really short for attractions. And here's what I'll say. If you are a couple and you want to knock out the Magic Kingdom stuff that's open, which is most of the things, it's a great thing to do.
How much is a ticket for Not So Scary?
It depends on the night. I think it ranges from somewhere in the 50s to somewhere in the 70s.
So theoretically, you could almost get Magic Kingdom on the cheap.
Yes.
If you were to a couple that didn't care about the Not So Scary stuff at all.
You could go in at 4 o'clock and you could
just
go.
Knock out everything.
Yeah, so I would actually encourage that. That's a good way to do it. But so, because like we walked on Splash, we walked on.
Really?
Walked on. No, never stopped. Walked onto our log. There, we walked on Buzz Lightyear. And I think that was all we got to do. And the reason one, my son was not, he was traveling, he was tired. But fireworks weren't till 10:15. 10 o'clock was the like projection show. We weren't even there at that point. We had already left. The first parade. So what happened was, and this is why I'd say it, because I was stoked for the parade. People had built up this parade in my head. Like, I thought that was going to be a mind-blowing experience. And anyway, I missed a good portion of it because we got on Splash with about 40 minutes till the parade. Splash broke down about 5 minutes into the ride, if less than that, just right before the first incline. And we were stuck for about 10 minutes. So by the time we got out of it, I heard the Headless Horseman go by. People cheered. And I got to watch the rest of that parade. It was a little underwhelming. I really was expecting this amazing spectacular, and I was kind of bummed out that, yeah, it was cool to see Ralph and the villains. The Haunted Mansion one, which is what should have been my like thing I thought was fine. It wasn't this, I don't know, I had a overwhelmingly, not negative experience as much as I had an overwhelmingly disappointed experience. I feel like if I'm, and like character meet and greets, that'd be another thing. My son really wanted to meet Jack Skellington and Sally. It was a 2-hour wait to meet Jack and Sally. 2 hours of an event where you only get, you know, a certain amount of hours to be there.
And that's because people tend to line up prior to the event.
Right.
Because you can get in at 4 for those events.
You know what? Don't allow that. Like, there are things that they can do. I feel like have 3 Jack Skellingtons around. You do
something. Yeah, that's not like it's going to ruin the magic to have, like, a break off here, break off there, and or different areas around the park where you can meet Jack Skellington.
Right, and maybe different costumes. Here you can meet Christmas Jack. Here you can meet Halloween Jack. That was really a bummer. And, you know, I'll be honest, it was mostly adults in line. It wasn't like kids in line. So that kind of also bums me out in some ways. Cause it's like, all right, you know, this character means this much to you. I mean, I'm probably offending people that are listening, but it's just true. Like, I feel like you're taking spots away from kids' magic in that. And I felt some of that way in the trick-or-treating part as well. We went to about 2 or 3 trick-or-treating stations. Number one, cast members for the first time in probably my entire experience were overwhelmingly negative. It was that my wife got yelled at because she left one of her bags for candy and they didn't want to give her a new bag of candy. Bag, like a little plastic Moana promotional bag. Why? I'm trying to think of some of the other ones. We had 2 or 3 back to back where my wife and I were just like, this is just weird. It just felt weird.
It almost felt like something was off. Maybe the 45th, just crowds were so high.
I mean, it wasn't that busy. I had a thing where we didn't get to see the Hocus Pocus show because of our own scheduling. I'll say that. We didn't get to see the parade fully. And when I did saw, I wasn't that impressed. What I like about Horror Nights is that there are a lot of fans that go and never do a house. Because, yes, American Horror Story or The Walking Dead house, when we were there on Sunday night, the wait was 2 hours long. But as soon as you enter the gates, it's Halloween. And there are characters and there are stuff happening. And they have scare zones. And it's Halloween. You're overwhelmed by how much Halloween. There are shows, there are things that are going on all night long.
Even little things like turning certain lights off to make the the diner says die-in instead of drive-in.
Yeah, and there's some of that. It just felt like, oh, this is what's up during the day, and now there's just lights on it. And the music is odd. Like, I don't know why. Like, it weirded me out that I was listening to Thriller in the front of Cinderella Castle. Like, it just kind of took me back a little. I don't want to be overwhelmingly negative. It wasn't for a 4-year-old. And it certainly, I don't think, will be for a 5 or 6-year-old. I will try to go back again. And hopefully my son still cares to dress up at 7 or 8 years old. And we'll do it again. He had an awesome costume. I have to say that. My wife put him in an incredibly awesome costume that she made where he is the Rocketeer. I'll try to, we don't post pictures of our kids on the internet, but I'll try to post one where it's internet friendly. Because It's pretty awesome.
I was about to give your wife kudos for that. The costume was definitely...
Yeah, she could go into that business. She doesn't want to, but she could.
Here's a question. What did the crowd look like? Like, did they seem to be having a good time? Or were you, like, was it hard for you to even, like, take that in because of the experience you were having?
You know, I think that it wasn't. My son didn't really come. We did Haunted Mansion, too. We did Haunted Mansion as well. And that was cool. Haunted Mansion, my big positive, because all the... All the cast members had like cobwebs all over them. Like that was, they had a character out. That was one where I could say that they had just a character out you could interact with all night long.
How long was the wait on that?
5 minutes.
So even the themed ride.
Yeah. Which the ride had no changes. And that's kind of a bummer too when you know what Disneyland does. The ride had no changes, but the stuff around it did.
That's cool.
It was cool. That I will give them kudos
it's also
for that.
Cool that you could walk onto it.
It was cool. The attractions part is awesome. But people started sitting down. Also, the parade thing is people started lining up for the parade pretty much at open. So at 7 o'clock is when we walked in hearing the, "Now, welcome, foolish mortals, to Mickey's Not-So-Scary Halloween Party." We walked in at 7, and people were already lined up for the parade, taking all the good spots, which, again, pre-planning, I get that. But I don't want to go to somewhere where I have to be literally sitting around an hour and a half for a parade. It's just not it's not enjoyable to me, especially when it's so hot. And the crowds, I think, were having a fine time. And some people love it. And a lot of people love it. I just had a bad experience. And trick-or-treating, again, same thing. Long lines to get lots of... Yes, you can fill up. People had literally one person had 10 pounds of candy.
So they're overdoing it.
But they're also an adult. You know, it's one of those things where it's like, if you let the kids trick-or-treat, I feel like, yes, they encourage it. Like, you should trick-or-treat too. And they gave me a bag. And I have to say, there was one Saving Grace cast member. And that was... My son was clearly having not a so fun time. And we went up to get a drink stand. He was hot. He was obviously in this Rocketeer outfit that we kind of stripped down at this point. And she gave him she said something. I was like, "What do you want to drink?" He's like, "Nothing. I don't want anything to drink." He was just getting frustrated. So I got him a water. And she's like, "Oh, you don't want a Mickey pretzel?" And I was like, "Well, thanks, cast member. Not to buy a Mickey pretzel." And he's like, "Okay, yeah, I'll take that." And she's like, "All right, it's on Mickey. Thanks." And she gave us a free pretzel. And that was like a little moment of, okay, you get how this is supposed to work.
And that's kind of what you want
right,
from the cast members.
Other than her, who I want to like give a positive, I was thrilled. It was a pretty negative experience. I'll stop being a basher right now and say I'm sure a lot of you guys had great times at it with older kids. And maybe you had with younger kids. It just didn't work for us.
Is it something you will take him back to when he's older? Or are you just kind of jaded by it?
It will be a couple years at least until I try it again, if he wants to do it. He really wanted to do it. Like, he saw the commercials. And again, it's one of those things where the commercial doesn't match the experience.
Right.
So much so that it's overwhelmingly disappointing.
Well, and that's even, I asked him about it. I said, "Oh, tell me about Not So Scary."
And he'd been talking about it for weeks.
And he was like, "I rode Splash Mountain."
Yeah. I do have to say a funny story of my son, and I'll let Terry in with a positive view. He really wanted to ride Splash for the first time ever. So we get him on there, and he loves it. Loves the entire thing. No problems with it. Laughing, getting soaking wet. And later on, "I'm never doing that again." I said, "Why, buddy?" He's like, "When we got to the top of the hill, the big hill." He's like, "I like the little hills." When we got to the top of the big hill, and I saw, he said, the Magic Kingdom, but he meant Cinderella Castle, like lit up. He said, "I could not breathe." And it's like, okay, I get it. But he really liked it. I know he'll go again, I'm sure, on Splash.
I will say, to end your negative with a little bit of a positive about Not So Scary, is Disney does a great job of capacity controlling those events. So you were able to walk on almost any ride you wanted to go on.
For the rides, it was great.
For the
Halloween experiences, things, it was miserable.
Right.
So that's the thing. I'm an annual pass holder. You know, I could go whenever I want to go. You know, they're not trying to brag, but it's just the truth. I'm an annual pass holder. So to me, walking on Splash was cool, but I really would have preferred to have seen the show. I would have really preferred to have had a good spot to see the fireworks and had them schedule it out at times that make a little bit more sense, other than the parade being at 8:30 and 11.
Yeah, so it's crowd controlled in the fact that it's not like the entire park, but it's still not crowd controlled enough that it wasn't a 2-hour wait to meet the one character they had.
Right.
So I don't think that is.
I could have met Lotso Huggenbear in 20 minutes, but I mean, who cares? I mean, that's just the truth.
Well, I mean, I like Lotso.
I like Lotso, but who cares? I mean, that's not even that is a crowd control mechanism.
It's
that is not a
missing the point.
Yeah, I was just overwhelmed. I should be in here raving about it, just like you should about Food and Wine. It was overwhelmingly disappointing, and unless they really up their game, I don't think I'll return for many years. It will never cross my mind. It will never cross my mind as an adult unless we do the attractions, to say if I have to pick one or the other, I'm never going to pick.
Yeah, I do like that as a kind of a pro tip, though.
Yes.
Get your pass for on the cheap and go do all the rides at Magic.
Yeah, the Main Street's going to annoy the crud out of you, but everything else will be fine. All right, I'm done. I'm sorry. I promise you I had better experiences at Hollywood Studios. I'll talk about that another day. Just want to take a quick break and thank everybody for listening to WDW today. If you're looking for ways to support us, there's a couple different ways you can do it. We got some merchandise, Laugh-O-Gram Studios merchandise. You say, Logan, why do I want a Laugh-O-Gram t-shirt? Well, Laugh-O-Gram was actually Walt Disney's very first studio, and now it's ours. It's pretty cool. Long story of how we ended up with the name Laugh-O-Gram. But in general, if you want something that represents not just us and what we do here at WDW Today and our other podcasts, get something that represents Walt's first dream, his first animation studio. You can get that at laughogramstore.com. And now, back to the show. So, Terry, you had something fun happen.
Yeah, we did something. And we all did lots of things. We did have a great trip, I thought. We had a lot of fun hanging out together and doing stuff. We had lots of park moments that were fun, too. But we decided, my wife and I were talking, we got the My Disney Experience app, and we were just kind of like, I'm just going to see what I can get anytime and start seeing if there's a new experience I haven't had. And we went to a couple of new restaurants that we'll talk. We went to the new Homecoming restaurant, and we'll definitely be talking about that in a future show.
Yeah.
But Sunday morning, I thought, you know, hey, they're doing the brunch thing, and we've never done the brunch. And you hear us talk a lot on the show about California Grill, how it's one of our favorites. And so we were able to get a reservation for four. And so since everybody else kind of in our party, I knew the guys were going to Universal that night, so I knew they wouldn't be up for an early brunch. But we...
I rope dropped Hollywood Studios.
Yeah, you said the rope drop instead.
That's beyond the fact. Go ahead.
So we had some friend of ours in Orlando, and we met up with him and went to brunch. And brunch from top to bottom was an absolute fantastic experience. You walk in, you get to the table, you go up the stairs, and literally the moment you walk off the elevator, they hand you a mimosa. So the whole time it feels different than eating normally at California Grill. You walk in and there's a piano and upright bass guy playing Disney classics and kind of whatever you want. They'll actually, if you go up, they love to take requests and play whatever you want. They kind of give you a tour of the.
You guys know Margaritaville.
The guy, I kept giving a request, and he eventually, like, I gave three or four random songs he didn't know. I gave him a song from Dumbo. He's like, "Oh, we don't have that." And then I was like, "Do you have Freebird?" He's like, "Yeah, we got a short version of Freebird. We can play that." Because you just didn't know any of the songs. So you get up there, and they give you a tour of the kind of the buffet portion of the brunch. And it was kind of set up similar to the brunch on Palo, on the cruise ship, where there's a buffet portion. And then there's a menu portion.
Like a seated portion, yeah.
It's all one set price.
Right.
Yeah, everything on the menu, you can pick whatever you want. But it's, you know, the whole thing is like $80. So
yeah.
So you get there, and there's an addition. There's a massive Bloody Mary bar that you can add on for an additional cost. We chose to not do that because the mimosas were fantastic. The first thing you kind of come through is a like a cheese and meat charcuterie station. And then a lot of the their salads and various things, and then about half of the sushi menu seems like it's on the on their buffet. And if you've ever had California Grill sushi, you know that it's fantastic. And then they had, you know, like a build your own lox and bagel station and all kinds of fun stuff. Just kind of that's the appetizer, and that literally could have been your entire meal. You could have eaten off of that,
yeah,
and walked out of there. Stuffed, and then the menu had things like shrimp and grits and steak and eggs. And there was three or four different kinds of eggs Benedict. There was lobster Benedict. There was salmon Benedict. There was just regular eggs Benedict. And most of our
too many Benedicts,
so many Benedicts. And it's cool to be up there during the day because normally when you're at California Grill, you're up there at night. You're up there to watch the fireworks, and you see the Magic Kingdom all lit up. So you're able to see the Magic Kingdom during the day. It was just an absolutely fantastic experience. Most everyone in our party either got a lobster Benedict or the shrimp and grits, which were both fantastic. And it was definitely not cheap. It was one of the more expensive meals I've had at Disney.
You said it was $80 a person?
Yeah.
It's almost a day at the parks.
Yeah.
But worth it.
Yeah, I mean,
for adults.
For adults, it was definitely an adult kind of. You know, if you're staying at a deluxe resort, you know, take advantage of Disney's babysitting service. Let the kids, you know, have an adult breakfast. You know, and it was definitely kind of an upper scale thing to do.
What'd you wear?
I just had shorts and a polo.
Was that majority of the people there?
About 2/3 were dressed like that, and then there was a couple people who were really excited to be at brunch and had like a tie on.
Okay.
But, you know, the rule of the deluxe resort, signature dining, that was the word I was looking for, is resort casual. So, like, that's the dress code. So, you know, shorts are acceptable there.
I like at Disneyland, they have a thing in your room that pretty much says, even at our finest restaurants, don't dress up. Hmm. And they're like, you know what, it doesn't matter. Like, we'll take you with it. Except for Club 33, like, it says pretty much very clearly, like, this may be an $80 thing, but you can wear a t-shirt and shorts. We don't care. I kind of like having to put on some nicer clothes.
Yeah, I'm kind of on the end where I wish that it was like kind of like the cruise ship. They have the dress up.
Do I really want to eat, you know, a $90 meal with a guy with a tank top where I can see his armpit hair? Probably not. But I like that Disneyland kind of promotes that. But that's good. Good to know. That sounds fun. I would try.
How much sushi did you eat?
A lot.
A lot of sushi?
Yeah, a lot of sushi.
How long was the experience?
I think we were there a couple hours. We were in no hurry.
Yeah.
I mean, literally, as soon as you finished a mimosa, there was two or three people around you bringing you more. I mean, so it definitely felt like a lot of times you go to Disney, and even on this trip, we experienced, after the day we had before with how hot it was the complete opposite of like rushing to be anywhere or sweating because there was crowds everywhere. It was just super low key, super chill. It was a very relaxed, in the middle of the chaos that Disney can be, it was definitely a relaxing way to start the day.
Great. And you should make reservations on the app.
Just made reservations on the app.
Same day or day before?
Couple days before, yeah. We just decided to do it, I think, on Thursday.
Yeah.
And then because you were there for brunch, you're able to go back to the host stand and see fireworks there that night.
Oh, that's cool.
So we had parked there for the day, so we randomly looked and went, oh, Hallowishes are about to start.
Yeah.
So we were just going to go to the car, but we went up and saw Hallowishes from the top of the Contemporary.
Very cool.
And those fireworks are, which I know you guys didn't get to stay for.
Yeah.
They're fantastic.
You know what? I like Star Wars fireworks, 7:45, not 10:15.
I think still light outside.
Yeah. And I don't think they started right at 10:15 yet. It was like 10:20 or 10:25 by the time they got going.
I would have been not thrilled. Before we wrap up, so we don't just end on Terry has one positive, negative. Anything else, Will? Did you do anything you'd never done before?
Well, because it was so busy on the 45th, they had the Diamond Horseshoe restaurant was open, which is, I'd never been
in
there.
We all got to eat there.
Right.
I don't think any of us had ever been.
Years ago, maybe close to 10 years plus, Amanda and I gone. We had no recollection other than the actual room, which is pretty awesome on the 45th to eat there because it has this, hasn't been kept up vibe that's all kind of great.
Yeah, you said that, but I thought it had been kept up.
It just feels like it doesn't feel any different than it did. You know, day one, I feel like. It feels clean, but it feels not refreshed, not refurbed.
It's only open on overflow days.
Pretty much.
So it was fun. I thought it was good. It was a set price for everyone. You walk in, and they just start bringing food out. Like, it was like barbecue platter. So there was brisket, pulled pork, sausage, and turkey. Yeah. And then they brought up cornbread, mac and cheese.
Similar food to what you get at Whispering Canyon, get even at Hoop-Dee-Doo, but not as good, but close, but it still wasn't bad.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. It was, I felt like we were all starving at that point, so it was very refreshing, like we needed food.
The cornbread was fantastic.
Good cornbread. It wasn't, like you said, it wasn't mind-blowingly good, but it was adequate. I really liked the brisket, braised beef.
It was good.
It was good. And you guys left to go do rides, but we stuck around and had brownies.
I know. My boy wanted to get out of there. He wanted to go do some rides. So we quickly did some stuff. Nothing new that I have never done before, so I won't get into it. But
yeah, it was nice, though. It had
I like the vibe.
Salad, main course, and dessert, and it was air-conditioned.
And what I like to say, we're able to accommodate 12. I think I had a reservation for 12. A lot of these ones do technically. You can, like, Chef Mickey's, you can get a reservation for 25. Well, good luck. You know, it's probably not going to happen. This was a few days before I was able to get a reservation for 12 at the Magic Kingdom in a restaurant. Pretty good. I was happy. It was definitely the highlight of my day at the Magic Kingdom.
I was going to say, I'm so glad you made that reservation.
Me too.
Because it was like, It was the oasis amongst the desert of the Magic Kingdom that we were in that day.
It was cool. I like that. The only thing, I mean, probably a few things, obviously not so scary, but I did the Frozen First Time in Forever show at the Hollywood Studios. Have you ever done any of that? Have you ever done the show? Okay. I never done that
show. The sing-along show.
The sing-along show. So I didn't know what to expect. It was interesting. I got fast passes for it. And we had just done Star Tours, and my kids had just done the Disney Junior thing, so we rushed over, got the First Time for Forever. It's in the old American Idol and Doug Live Theater. And we went in, and you get seated, and Anna comes out. I'm like, okay, I get where this vibe is going. And then the rest of the show is two comedians who are actually very funny. And the show, that part of the show was great. I thought they did a great job. What's odd is that though there are appearances by Anna, Elsa, Kristoff, I think that's it. No Olaf, which is weird. Olaf meets next door. They're in it very shortly. Elsa's in it for maybe 5 minutes. No, Elsa's in it probably 2 minutes. And Anna's probably in it 3 or 4 minutes. And Kristoff's in it 3 or 4 minutes. And all the songs, except for a grand finale, spoilers, of Let It Go Again, you're just watching the movie on a giant HD screen with a bouncing ball. And that was a little bit kind of like, why? Like, it wasn't bad. My kids really liked it, but
cost effective.
But that's the thing. The actors are there. Anna and Elsa and Kristoff come out during the show. And I understand you're lip syncing. That's fine. That doesn't bother me at all.
Old Rocky Horror it.
Right. But it's like, you're there. Why am I watching the movie?
So the deal with that show is it was when they did that first Frozen summer thing at the studios.
Yeah, I know.
So they literally just threw that show together, and it's been so popular that they've never, like, along the way, like, fixed it.
I don't think it's a bad show. Again, I think it was very funny. I laughed out loud multiple times.
So, but did the very first time, did they have actual actors, or did they add them?
Like,
so
Elsa has a big grand finale where it snows.
That's proving Logan's point of not, oh, they added actors later. They already had actors
in
there.
In costume.
Why didn't they add something? Like, it's not
why are they not lip sync? I would have rather have seen them lip sync every song and led the sing-along than the comedians who are very funny and then watching it on a giant HD screen. Just didn't make any sense. It didn't make it. But I will say,
did your kids like it?
Kids liked it. So no props.
There you go.
I would never complain. I would do it again. I would definitely do it again. One, it was really funny. I really liked it. But it was not what I was expecting. I was expecting Anna, Elsa, Olaf, these characters all lip-syncing the whole time. But overwhelmingly, still very positive, very funny, air-conditioned, like Will said, and fairly easy to get into. So, that's what I did. That's the first thing. All right. I feel like we covered a lot of ground here, guys.
Yeah.
All right.
I already had a positive.
Yeah. But a new experience, but we'll let you go ahead.
Well, just because, I think we still have some more time on the show. And I got to do the Star Wars The Galactic Spectacular.
Yes.
The fireworks. And I was a little nervous about getting a good spot, because I'd heard from you that you had done the dessert party and how great your spot was. But early on in the evening, I did something I never do, because that was really the only reason we were going to Hollywood Studios that day, is that was my priority. We had already done Toy Story, and we had already done Star Tour. So I knew, this was my priority. So we got a spot like 50 minutes before the show, which is something I never do. I normally am just the guy that
shows up,
walks up, finds a spot, and enjoys it from wherever it is. But I saw where the dessert party was, where they had it roped off, and they were just roping off along the rails right to the left of the dessert party. So we walked up, we got a spot. Literally, I could have held hands with everyone that was in the dessert party. And this is the third version, I think, of these fireworks that they've done.
Technically, yeah.
Because they did ones
for
like
last tour of Endorian for Star Wars Weekends a couple times, and then a fireworks show up until a couple months ago.
Yes. And so they've definitely done several versions of this. So this is the first time I had gotten to see this version. And I saw it like 2 minutes online and went, okay, I've got to see that.
Yeah.
And it blew me away. I was very pleased with just the projections. And what was interesting is people were going up and asking like cast members, what is this? And cast members were having a hard time kind of explaining what it was, because I think it's sort of beyond explanation of what they do with the combination of the projection and the fireworks and the scenes and quotes from the movies.
Yeah, it's probably less fireworks than the last iteration, because it doesn't need to be.
Yeah, there's still a lot. There's a lot of pyro.
Yeah.
And my wife, who, isn't really a Star Wars fan, hasn't seen most of the movies and has no desire to, looked at me in the middle of the show and she went, this is fantastic. And so you know, it was that. Even if you're not a Star Wars fan, I would say watch it, because just the quality of it and the, it's so different from anything that they've ever done with a nighttime show, that it just feels like they've taken all the things they've done in other nighttime shows and combined it in one massive spectacular.
Awesome.
So yeah, I would I loved it. I would go see it every time I was there. Yeah. It's just kind of one of those.
Yeah, we didn't get to, but I would plan on it every time, being able to, just because we had nighttime stuff every night. It's an amazing show, and it's my favorite nighttime show by far. So shout out to J. Michael Roddy, who created that show, show director, friend of the show, friend of the other show, but kind of a friend of this show too as well. But amazing stuff coming out from the Disney creative team, the show directing team. All right. I feel good. I feel like we ended on a positive note. So all our negativity goes away.
Not mine.
All right, that's going to do it for today's show. I'm Logan.
I'm Will.
And I'm Terry.
Special thanks to Off to Neverland Travel, your vacation provider, our vacation provider. Go to Neverland.com, the greatest band of podcasting off kilter. Special thanks to ourselves at Laugh-O-Gram Studios. Make sure to check out our merchandise line again. Laugh-O-Gram Studios, originally Walt Disney's original studio. You get some cool merchandise that represents that. Whenever I wear my Laugh-O-Gram shirt in the parks, whether they know about our show or not, the cast members, everyone seem to like it because they're all in the know of what Laugh-O-Gram is. So get
like a little in-joke.
That's right. So it's Laugh-O-Gram Store.com. And that's going to do it for today's show. We'll talk to you on the next show.